Father, we want to thank you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts for giving us again to study your word and to be enlightened and to hold on to your calling, the purposes that you have for us, ordained even from the foundations of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue in the study of the most deceptive trap of Satan, God willing, I will be concluding it today. We saw that the word offense in Greek is skandalon, and it means trap. The trap that the people keep to captivate animals. Most of the time it is hidden and the animals don't know it. And the bait is inside. And in other translations, it is translated as stumbling blocks. The word offense for skandalon in Greek. So we saw many things, how we can be trapped by expecting unrealistic way from God or from others. Some are offended with God when certain things never happened according to their expectation and will. Somebody died, they expected God to heal them, or the job never came through. Whatever reason, that they had so much of hope and never it happened. Not knowing that God has some other plans for them, so they get offended and get means trapped. I'm just bringing to the remembrance what we just went through. Then we saw that the three main roots that cause us to be trapped: the self-knowledge and understanding. That means the personal opinions that we hold on to in our soul, according to our own ideas. You know, what that person is going to do or what that person is going to talk. So when that never happened, we get offended. The Pharisees got offended because of their own interpretation of the scriptures. When Jesus explained to them the true meaning. And then the second route was selfish blessings, personal advantage. Many follow Jesus or they are faithful to a church or pastor, whatever, for the personal advantage. You remember those people, they were seeking Jesus for food, for loaves of bread and fish, because he multiplied and Jesus had to bring that out. You were not seeking me just because you saw miracles, but because your stomachs were full. So personal gain. And then I'm coming to the third one. Selfish comforts, the third root that causes us to be offended or get trapped is, listen carefully, selfish comforts, personal convenience. Our selfish, self-centered comforts become a trap to us many times. Until somebody shows it to us, or God reveals to us through someone, we remain blinded as to why we go to church, why am I taking down notes, why I'm in with this group, what is the reason, what is there any personal gain, why am I in this position or in this church, whatever. Many God's people would like to have a comfortable Christian life rather than go through inconveniences and suffering. This is very true. In the Philippian church, they were so self-centered, self-willed, self-seeking. Paul had to tell them, in weeping, he said, you people are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. For Jesus, you remember, always he said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. Taking up the cross is not a thing that God forces upon us. No, he gives us as an option. You can take it or you can leave it. that is up to us. The cross is our will, and God's will crosses. Just now we sang that song, all my thoughts, my dreams and plans I lay it down. That means you are saying, I am taking the cross. Simple as that. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know why Shirumi selected that song. She had no knowledge what I'm going to say. So the cross, crossless life, is always, as I said before, is self knowledge, self advantage, and self convenience, comfort. Paul said to those people in his time of ministry in Acts 14:22, through many tribulations you must enter the kingdom of God. That means to live in God's kingdom and to receive the operation of God's kingdom, to know that we need to go through many tribulations, and through that God takes us and brings us out. He gives us his word, his strength. He establishes us and makes us strong. Amen. If you have not gone through troubles and tribulations, your spiritual maturity is very low, and you still remaining as a babe. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 58. Jesus never hesitated to tell it at once regarding the inconvenience that will be, that'll come for the sake of the kingdom of God, of preaching the gospel. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 58. As you take down notes, give your heart to the word of God. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. So he was telling him immediately, yes, you would like to follow me. There's going to be uncomfortable times, inconveniences that will come because of the gospel. So those of you who have already said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to go and win souls, no matter where, no matter when. I lay my plans down. I lay my thoughts and my dreams. Take me to the place where you want me to. You better know for sure that there will be inconveniences and uncomfortable circumstances that will come because of the gospel. Jesus never hides anything. God will never hide anything. When God blesses us, you remember, with tribulation, all these things shall be added unto you. In Mark chapter 10, brothers, sisters, mothers, yeah, children, lands, with tribulation. Always, always, he tells us. I think in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 says, for as much then as Christ, the anointed one, has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. We must have a mind to suffer. We must be ready to suffer for the gospel. Discomforts, inconveniences, when you face them, don't grumble, because it's in the word of God. Oh, Pastor, I never expected that I will be given just a mat. I thought at least I would get a small bed. Jesus never had a pillow, he was saying. Don't be discouraged. But the Lord's time will come for him to exalt you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became of him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through what? Sufferings. Can you see that? There is no one way for the Lord and one way for us. Never be discouraged. Going through the tribulation, you will see his presence and also the revelation of God's word and the power of the anointing of God will begin to flow through you. Never grumble. So most of the time, selfish comforts and personal conveniences become a trap to us when we do not know what God has revealed, what will happen in his kingdom. The demands of the kingdom are such there will be inconveniences. How deceptively the today's church, the contemporary church, sits on a comfortable zone. Sunday after Sunday, nice buildings. God is not opposed to have nice buildings. We must have them. But that is not the end. Week after week they sit, sing songs, study the word, go back home, and then go to work. And the cycle goes on and on. Good living, good money, good surrounding, good transport, no war, no persecution, nothing to pay to follow Jesus, no price to pay. So they are easily settled down in that comfortable life. Never think about winning souls or going as a missionary anywhere. That comes, that life is absorbed by our soul without our knowledge. Sometimes we can send somebody as a missionary. That's the easy thing to do, at least that. But then when it comes, the ball comes on their court. They are unwilling because of this inner, the craving for comfort. Like the Jews of Jesus' day, we find it easier to ignore some of the demands of the Lord concerning following him and obeying his last commission rather than be trapped by an interruption of our comfortable little worlds. Nothing is comfortable about Luke 9:23. How many of you know that? If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Luke says, daily, and follow me. He who loves his life shall lose it. He who hates his life in this world shall keep it for eternal life. What solemn words. Can anybody say anything further than this? You love this life, Jesus says, you're sure to lose it. That means you're not going to enjoy it. You're going to be tossed to and fro with all kinds of winds and storms of life and circumstances. That is not working. This is not working. That is not right. So that person has let me down. This person has rejected me. Oh, well, you offended me. I was hurt. Da, 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 da. And something will be wrong all the time because you are living in an imperfect world. You yourself, you are imperfect. And me too. We all make mistakes. So, we all love to have a comfortable zone secretly. What about Luke chapter 14 verse 33? Forsaking all to follow him, to be a disciple. We don't like those scriptures. How we just think it's maybe for somebody else. But the question is, are we a disciple or not? He said, unless a man forsakes everything, and to follow me, in order to follow me, he cannot be a disciple. There is no other thing Jesus said that. He cannot, full stop, be a disciple. So today's world, in the churches, brothers and sisters, we hear all the time about how to prosper, how to receive the blessing of God, how to receive healing, how to have spiritual warfare. Everything centered around how can win the demons. Yeah. But then very little is spoken about what God is concerned of, what his plans are, what his calling is, what are the gifts that he has given you, even when you did not know him in your mother's womb. The Bible says he separates you from your mother's womb. That's what we come to know after the salvation. Did you know that I knew you? I knew your name. I separated you. I formed everything in you. Not here by accident. God never saves anybody and then scratches his head like us. Now, wait a minute. What can we give him? What ministry can I give? That's why you don't have to be worried. When you know your calling, let anybody do anything. You will never be shaken and never feel jealous at anyone. You have a part to play. They have a part to play. You see, nothing about the gospel message is convenient. Nothing about bearing the cross and following Jesus is convenient or comfortable. No. Get it off your mind. Because of this, many believers are offended the moment they face problems, the moment they face misunderstandings, the moment they face rejection, the moment they come into accusation. Some people, they're offended because the pastor never looked at them. Pastor never called them. The pastor, one lady left the church because I did not say hello to her. I didn't even see her standing there. She left the church with the family. And I said, oh my God, I didn't even know. That's the way they get trapped. Never come back. Offense is a vicious, deceptive trap. See, the gospel demands are great. Jesus demands obedience and sacrifice is required by the kingdom. It is very comfortable and easy to attend Sunday church and sing in the choir or whatever you do, whatever, pay your tithes and offerings, shake hands with somebody, say hello to the pastor and go. Big churches who can't even see the pastor have no chances of talking to him. It is very comfortable. And to have fellowship maybe after the church is over and have a little fun and some jokes, very comfortable. But to be in the mission field, to be in a house where the whole house is caught up by witchcraft, the whole house is being tormented by demon spirits, and this maybe somebody tells you, Pastor, I see this figure. It's not even, let me say, a few hours I heard this. This figure comes to me. And then it's so frightening. And it comes in the middle of the night, sometimes early morning. And I call upon the name of Jesus and it doesn't go immediately. But I can't even say it in words, the things that are being done. I can't say it in words, Pastor, please pray for me. To go against those demon spirits of satanic whatever. And to consecrate your life. And to fast and pray. Is another thing. Somebody go and tell them not to play. Self-knowledge and self-blessings and self-comforts, self-centeredness and selfish, anything to do with self originated by the old nature, the old man, our soul, that's our self. Remember that our mind, emotions and will is from the fallen nature, the old man, the old self. Now, get something very clearly here. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. You're going to see something that you have never seen before. So listen prayerfully. When I hear something like that, I said, immediately I send a prayer, Lord, help me to receive. Mark 9, 43. And if your hand offend thee, brings you into a trap, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into demonic, into fire that will never shall be quenched. where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot offend you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Can you see? The scriptures are repeated over and over. Where the worm dieth not. And if your eye offend you, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell. The eye, the hand, and the foot. Offendi, that means brings you into a trap. If they are being used by demonic power to trap you, deal with it, Jesus says. I'm going to explain it to you with the help of the Lord. The hand is referring to something we do. The leg is referring to where we go. The eyes are referring to what we see and watch. What we see outside, what we see inside the house, what we watch over the TV, what the books that we read, referring to that. And those people who are not prepared to restrict without reservation the boundary that they should have in what they see and watch, in what they do with their hands, means doing, or where they go, where are the places you visit, they will come into the trap because they have no restriction. And Jesus says, you do deal with it. You stop it. You switch the television on, off. You throw that book away or that video cassette. You stop meddling with that person with your hands. You stop it, what you are doing. You must have the restriction. You should know where to draw your boundary. That's what Jesus said. Don't get trapped. It will trap you. Know your limits. But if he's doing it, deal with your hands. That means what you're doing. Deal with your eyes. That means what you're watching and what you're seeing with your eyes. Deal with your legs. That means you should know where you're going. Is that clear? This gets very, very silent. Why is that? Getting it in? Okay. Self-centered, selfish, self-seeking, self-willed, self-exalting, self-loving people are those who will never escape the trap, the offense. When self is on the throne and has been made the God, remember, you shall be as God, the devil said to Eve. When the self is all the time me, you know, sister, I got hurt. What is the I? Yourself got hurt. The soul was troubled. That means your soul has not matured yet. It is not carrying the cross. And there is still more time to go through the crucifixion. In these last days, Jesus said very vivid thing. Matthew 24:10. Thank you, Lord. And then many shall be offended, trapped, Matthew 24:10, and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. He is not talking about worldly people. He's talking about kingdom people, believers, God's people in the church. They will be offended. How many? Few people? Many shall be trapped. By what? Offenses. How careful we should be. And they will betray and they will hate one another. Check up your life. Check up what happened last week. Check up what happened last month. You're still holding it on? You are in the trap. You're unable to pray, unable to worship, unable to just give yourself a good laugh, enjoy. Unable to worship the Lord. Why in the last days many will be trapped or offended? 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, one scripture is connected always to several other scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Now you understand why many will be offended? Why you are offended inside? You love, we love our own self, our own life. We have put ourself, me, I, on the throne. And secretly, we are holding on to it. Outwardly, we sing, Lord, I want to follow you. Tell me where I should go. But inwardly, we love our comfort zones, comfort life, convenient life, good surrounding, good job, good money. See that? I know that many won't like this type of message and preaching, but it is a fact. The Holy Spirit says, the Lord, many will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasures. And that's why Jesus, knowing this, he said, anybody wants to follow me, let him deny the devil, let him bind the devil. Huh? Let him do spiritual warfare. Let him fight the devil all the time. No, man. This church has focused on all kinds of things and not preaching the real marrow of God's expectations. And he said, deny yourself. That's the problem. The self comes between us and Jesus. That's why he says, crucify it. And he had already done it in Romans 6:6. Your old man has been crucified already, but it has to be a daily affair. Paul said, I am crucified with the anointed one, Christ. Those people will escape the trap. When the self is strong, secretly, you can know immediately. When they do all those things, well, some of us go and just feel sorry for them and just put some fuel for their self. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah, we understand. Yeah. And the Lord has told me many times we spoil the work of God. There are truly some people needed to be brought out from this condition because they are so caught up in their self, they are trapped. But then we should be careful not fueling and feeding their soul, their soulish, wrong affections and hurts and other things. We should be very careful. So in this way, the love of self, because of that, many, many shall be trapped or offended because they have made their self God. They are God. Now the symptoms of being some symptoms. How do I know that I am trapped? Your intimacy with God, closeness, will be gone. The anointing decreases day by day. Your desire for the world, your hunger, your desire to be with the children of God, your desire to serve God, your desire to come for Bible study. Now you just come because you have been coming, but you have lost that hunger. That hunger is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God feeds the hungry, not others. The proud are those who are self-centered, self-willed, full of self are the proud. What is pride? An independent soul is proud, full of pride. Thinks that knows everything. So, the prayer life also is hindered. The word of God decreases. An outward form of worship and singing. And they get separated from God's presence day by day. And also they get separated from those who offended them. They leave that person or that group and they go and join somebody else. That shows they are offended and they are in the trap. They leave. John chapter 6 verse 60. You will see that one there. Separation comes not only from God, from those believers who had been friends one time. Or they have been close. Now they don't join them. They are separated. John 6:60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, that means Jesus said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They got offended. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61. When Jesus knew it himself, that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, does this offend you, trap you, what I said? Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back, walked no more with him. They got separated from Jesus. When you get into the trap, when you are offended, you separate yourselves, sometimes even from the pastor. You just give a smile, but your heart is separated. And you can camouflage. No, pastor, no, not that. And, I'm so busy. I'm tired. And it doesn't mean that I don't love you, but yes, but it's like that. But you can see, the moment that people got offended, they got separated from Jesus. They walked no more with him because their self was strong. Only a crucified self will continue. Jesus, I don't know what you said about eating the flesh and the blood, but I know that you are with me. I want to follow you. Whatever, doesn't, if I don't understand, doesn't matter. That person is not trapped. But people who are trapped will separate themselves. They will find new people to join with. Go to verse 68. Then Simon, Jesus said, do you also want to go away? Separate yourself? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Can you see? What keeps you knitted together is the revealed word of God. You have to live in revelation knowledge, not on head knowledge or the whatever that you have in your notebook. You got to receive the revelation, the light of God's word. Then you stick on. You keep on even though the things are going hard. You don't try and find fault and the point finger and all those things, you know. Then inside we have hurt, covered up anger, unrest, depression. You know, a dead soul will not react. A soul that is alive, full of independence, will react. The soul that is dead to its own thoughts, dead to its own conveniences, comforts, emotions, and will never react. Consider this. When Joseph, you remember Joseph? When he was thrown into the waterless pit, he must have really cried, squalled, and bawled. He really cried and shouted, don't, please, don't, my dad doesn't know. I don't know what he said, but he cried out because the Bible says so. When his brothers came, when he was next to Pharaoh, made the prime minister, and then the brothers came, you remember the story? And then he identified them, and then now he's now playing games with them now to bring them to conviction. And then when something was told by Joseph, okay, you leave this chap, probably Benjamin, and then you go to the father, and then da 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 da, and we will read what happened there. They were talking in their own language, but Joseph understood. This is a beautiful story. How many of you love the story of Joseph? It's a beautiful drama. True life. 42:21. And these brothers started to talk to one another. You know what they said? And they said to one another. This is happening in front of Joseph. In front of Joseph. You know, they said to one another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his what? Soul. Can you see that? The anguish of his soul. That means he cried out, please, brothers, Benjamin, Reuben, don't. Please, my dad. But they wouldn't want to listen to him. Anguish of his soul. When he besought us, when he was crying to us, and we would not hear, therefore, this distress has come upon us. Can you see that? He was weeping. Now, I want to take you to another scene that was happening to Joseph. Go with me to chapter 39. He was given the full charge of Potiphar's house, And he is serving there, and Potiphar's wife is throwing eyes on him to sleep with him, to go to bed with him. But he is a man of God. So he's escaping all the time. And then one day, you all know the story, what happened. And he left his cloak and he ran away. And then she got mad, this lady. And then when Potiphar came back, the lord of the house, and she complained to him. 39, verse 39, when you read the whole chapter, let me go to verse 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spoke unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath, anger was kindled. Potiphar got very angry. I'll give you everything. And, you know, I mean, there is everything justifiable, you know, for him to get angry. But in that chapter, the Holy Spirit showed me, where is Joseph there? And the question came, and the answer also came within me. He was a dead man. He never spoke one word to defend him. Never said, this is what happened. This is what happened. Please believe me. You think I will do a thing like that? No, not one word. But when he was thrown into the pit, he cried out. But now the Lord has dealt with him, his soul, taking him through many tribulations and trials. His soul was being crucified. The cross was working in his soul. And then now this accusation came, which he never expected in his life. And he remained silent. And Potiphar threw him into side prison. And there he never went and told everybody. We don't read anything. He's a silent man. Why? He was a dead man. A dead soul to all its accusations, fault findings, rejections, and everything cannot be trapped by offense. As long as we live a crucified life daily, we cannot be captivated, trapped by offenses, accusations, fault findings, irritations, rejections, purpose rejections. We cannot. But when we are not living a life of walking with the Lord, a crucified life, straight away we react. The soul rises up. It's me that did all these things. And then we go into the trap, the prison. Another beautiful example would be Matthew 27 verses 11 to 14. Jesus many times was accused for many things. He spoke very humbly, calmly to the Pharisees. And now he's standing before Pilate. And then they're asking me questions, and giving the Pharisees and the chief priests, accusing him for many things. And Jesus never spoke a word. Matthew 27, 11 to 14, if you read it, that's there. So much so, he never answered one word. What happened? Verse 14, and he answered him to never a word, in so much that the governor marveled greatly. They were shocked. Why Jesus never spoke anything? He was already dead inside. He committed his soul to the Father, that he will justify, prove that he was right. When is the time we are going to vindicate ourselves? When our soul is very strong. Children, I wish I had known this before, honestly. This is a true fact. A soul that stays on the cross, a person who lives a crucified life, will escape from many traps. In fact, all. That is the only place where the devil cannot take us. So he will continually tell us, come down from the cross, as he said to Jesus. Come down from the cross, we will believe you. Yeah. See, the most of these can be found, you know, the offenses can be, you know, they are all traps. Traps. Many believers stumble and get into this trap, and then they are unable to fulfill their calling in their lives because of wounds and hurts, the offenses. The closer the friendship, the more severe the offense. Only a person who cares for you can hurt you, not others. You see that person hurt you because that person cares for you. A person who doesn't care for you cannot hurt you. Did you receive that? You see, we can often find the most hatred between two people or two groups who were close once before. And when they are separated now, you will find the most hatred. Yeah. Okay, now we will have some facts how to get out of this trap. You got to know these facts. Settle it in your heart. Remind one another when talking, maybe after in a party or whatever, after the church, or remind one another. Do you know? Jesus said in Luke 17:1, you cannot live in this earth without traps. In a sense, traps will be there. So expect it. Be warned, forewarned. Traps will be there as long as we live in this earth. Know that the trap is for your soul. The devil wants to use that offense, that trap, to captivate your soul, your mind, and your emotions and keep you bound. Thirdly, know that not one person is perfect. We all have flaws in our character. All. Is there anybody here without any flaw? Flaw means any defect in your character. Anyone? You can stand up and come and pray for us. Jesus was the only person without a single flaw. Know that we all have flaws. James said we all err in many things in chapter 3. Now, what is the action? What is the answer? What action can we do? Now, knowing these facts, the crucified life, the cross of Jesus Christ is the answer. There is no other answer. Romans 6:6 says, we have been crucified with Christ. Our old man was crucified with Christ. But Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the anointed one lives in me. Now the life that I live is by the faith of the Son of God. Now listen, who loved me and gave himself for me. How did he love me? Giving himself for me on the cross. So living a crucified life daily, like in Luke 9:23, will prevent us from getting into trap offenses, getting caught to it. Luke, 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I die daily. How many of us have said like that? How are you? Well, I'm dying daily. Praise God. So that the power of God will come through me. Hallelujah. Paul said, death is working in me, but life in you. Unless the soul hangs on the crucifixion, the cross, the power, resurrection power from the Spirit cannot flow out. The self is the problem. The self is the real mess, the door that blocks the blessing of God. The outer shell. See? be prepared for self-pruning. What is self-pruning? That's what I said, Mark 9:43. If your eye is making you to get into a trap, pluck it off. What does it mean? Switch off the television. Throw that book away. Throw that video away. Restrict what you're watching, what you're seeing. Don't go and meet that person. Self-pruning, pruning, cleaning up. You know, you prune the trees. Jesus talks about the pruning. The Father is the who dresses the vine. Are you all here? Okay. So Jesus speaks to us. We must do self-pruning. Those who are not prepared to do self-pruning and then draw their boundaries, they are sure to be offended, sure to be trapped. Also know that the Father is also a pruner. He will continue pruning us through many circumstances. And you got to see his hand. You know, you remember David was in trouble. Absalom was trying to chase him and kill him. He gets out of his throne. He's going. Now Shimei, a young chap from Saul's family, he comes and swears and he scolds. David, you bloodthirsty, you man. You deserve it. He started cursing with all kinds of words. And some of his officers come and said, King, let me go and get his head off from his body. He would have been gone. You know what answer David gave? You remember that? You don't remember? David said, well, 2 Samuel chapter 16. Turn there. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10. It's very interesting. You will see something there. Where we should look. 2 Samuel 16. Oh Lord, please help us. 10. And King David said, what I have to do, he's speaking to that officer who said that I will go and cut his head. You sons of Zeruiah, so let him curse, because the Lord had told him to curse David. Who shall then say, why are you doing this? Can you see that? Verse 11. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son who came forth from my bowels, that's Absalom, he's trying to kill me, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite to do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him to do. He looked at the sovereignty of God. He looked at the hand of God, that nothing will come to him apart from him allowing it. He so depended on him. Now you remember, some of you are just unable to take this. Now you remember Balaam, a false prophet, a wizard. He wanted to curse Israel. Did the Lord permit it? No. But here he permitted it. He permitted it. See? Verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. How do you like that? So dependence on the Lord. And you see, these are very, very important things to note. Remember that the Lord is on the throne before the whatever the thing that happened to you. And he still is on the throne after it had happened. The Lord was on the throne before the tsunami, and he was on the throne after the tsunami. Isaiah chapter 6, when the king Uriah died, Isaiah, what did he see? Oh, the king died, but the Lord is on the throne. He is king forever. So he was, I feel the anointing. He was telling Isaiah, don't worry, Isaiah, my throne is set up all the time. Your king may have died, but I am what I am, the great I am. So David looked at the sovereignty of God, caring relationships. You remember, when we are living a humbled and humble crucified life, then we will give our heart to listen to the brothers or sisters, the friends whom the Lord has assigned to us. You should have at least a friend. Two shall do better than one. The Lord sent two by two. Not necessarily you got to be united as a fiancé. No. Caring relationships that will help you to get out of the trap. Naaman had a faithful servant. When Naaman got annoyed, you go home and read it, and then his servant said, you know, this was spoken by the prophet. If somebody has told you something, won't you do it? And then he heard the words of his servant, and then he remained and then went and did it, what Elijah said. So God will give us some faithful friends or somebody who will bring us and tell us, no, don't get upset, don't get offended, and don't humble yourself, you know, and then you escape through caring friends. When that Nabal, that foolish man, husband of Abigail, got mad and he didn't want to send any provision for David, something to eat, and then David, when he heard about it, he got mad, he got angry, he wanted to finish off Nabal. And then Abigail heard about it, she came and then halfway, and then spoke to David and said, don't you do this. And she was very frank in saying, my husband is a F-O-O-L fool, but you are going to be in the kingdom, and God has anointed you, and it's going to be a few days. Don't do this. And David immediately saw the hand of God. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has sent you today to stop me from sinning against him. See, he wanted to take revenge. That is the normal, natural thing of the soul. Wait, I will go and ask her. Today I will ask her. What is her phone number? I go to ask her. I'm going to ask him. No. I can't wait until the church is over. Would you please come? Yeah. Soul. Uncrucified soul. Self. How to pray for those people, Pastor? Lord, send many with the hammer and nails to this person. Crucify. Yeah. So more crucifixion takes place. More the self goes into nothingness, and the person says, yeah, before I was afflicted, I was a very arrogant person. Now I have learned. Doesn't matter. Absalom is all out to kill me. What are you? There's more, my own son. That's what David said. Who is this Shimei? That's okay. Just leave him. Maybe the Lord so told him to curse me. See where he was looking, he was not trapped. He just shook it off. See, so we should have such friends or servants. Pray for those. The moment somebody tells bad word or accusation or something or give a bad look, suddenly our self rises up, right? Doesn't? No? All those who are saying quiet and they're saying no or keeping quiet are really selfish. Accept it, man. We just because our self needs dealing of the cross. Apart from the cross, your Christianity is nothing. It's a dead religion. It's easy to sing than to carry the cross. Easy. So Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, what did he say? Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who have offended you. We failed to do that. You know why he said that? That will keep you from the trap. That will keep you getting into the trap, because the devil will come and now deal with your soul, remind you of that offense, remind you of those words, bring you into your imagination of those pictures. Yeah, she came that way. I remember, she, you know, her face expression was a bit nasty that those days, but then it was when she shared it, oh, yeah. And then you fuel it with those thoughts, and then we are trapped. And we cover it up later on. That's okay. That's all right. I just, but it's there. It is there. So praying until we can speak to that person and then give a real a hug and a kiss without any hypocrisy. Sometimes we hug with hypocrisy. Isn't that right? God says it. What to do? Mother's Day. That is bad. I don't say anybody did it, but that's, that happens. Our soul deceives us. But then the crucified soul says, oh Lord, I thank you for this mother. Bless the Lord. Show me, Lord, how I can help her. How I can help this widow. Help that single mother. That's what the crucified soul. When you have a love for God's word, more than your mother, your father, more than your fiancé, more than your food, more than yourself. When you have the love for God's word, how many of you just got the Bible towards your chest? When is the last time you said, Lord, don't take your word away from me. Please give me the hunger back again to me, Lord. I love your word, Lord. Psalm 119, 165, you will see something alarming there. Maybe that you just read it and you know it, but then you didn't see it that way. 119, 165. I want to get it before you. Great peace they have, those which love your word or law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Crucified life with loving God's word. Honestly, I say this with all my heart. People have come and said all kinds of rubbish things in front of me. People have even said, they're killing everyone. They're not killing him. When you are full of the love for God and his word. By the way, you cannot love God without loving his word. You don't see him. And when you have the love for the word, the promise of the Holy Spirit is they will never get into any trap. The Lord shall preserve you from snares of the devil. You will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my strength, in whom I have my hope. You are my strong tower. Oh Lord, Psalm 91, and he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the trap. When is the last time that you have said aloud, you are my refuge, you are my strength, Lord. You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are my refuge. And the promise comes, he shall deliver you from these offenses, the trap of the enemy, the vicious trap of the enemy. You know, when a brother is offended in Proverbs 18, 19, it's a dangerous trap. You can win a city, break down its walls, but when a brother is offended, it's so difficult to get out of this trap. You can go in and get a city. And God says he's more than vicious than the walls of Jericho. Are you there? Are you getting something here? So see how strong when you get into a trap and we get into a trap like that. Somebody said something, somebody just went away without talking to you. Something they spoke behind our backs and because we so love them, now we get mad. As I said before, nobody can hurt you than those who will really love you. Did you see that? Don't go to bed offended in trap. You see, if somebody is offended because of you, go and tell the person sorry. Don't go and explain. See, when you are offended, prayerfully approach and then humble yourself. Don't prove your case. Say to your own soul, shut up. I am going to reconcile, to win that person, to back again to be in friendship. Nothing else. Not to go and then say, this is what you did wrong. This is what I, you're not going to win that brother. Because you are in your soul yet. You are in the trap yet. Get yourself out of the trap. Get yourself out of the trap. So remember, the goal is reconciliation, winning that person, getting back to the friendship, not proving our case how much I was hurt. Then I would say to the person, really? How much your soul is strong? You need the cross. No, I won't say that, but you know, that's the essence, that's a fact. To the degree our soul remains crucified, to the degree we will walk without any traps. That is all. May the Lord bless you and show you these things more when you read and study. Amen.